Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we have a very exciting founder, serial founder. You know, he's done it multiple times. You know, we're definitely going to be talking about raising money because he's raised quite a bit. He has quite a bit of assets under management. But again, we're going to be talking about discipline, how he got that early on with music, almost getting into trouble there with the Wi-Fi of Harvard, you know, when he was getting started with his company. And then how you go about losing a big investor as well as, you know, acquiring, you know, other companies and growing very fast. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Christian Haig. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alejandro. Really appreciate it and looking forward to chatting.
So born in England, mostly in Oxford. Give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up?
Absolutely. So I grew up mostly in Oxford. I went to a choir school there. It was part of the Oxford colleges. And music was a huge part of my childhood. We sang seven services a week. We'd get up at about 6:30 every morning to do all of those services. And we'd even do music on Christmas Day. So when everybody else was at home for their Christmas dinners, we were singing Mass in the cathedral. It was a great training ground to become very disciplined. And I think had a big impact on my ability to, you know, build businesses today in terms of, you know, grinding when things are really hard.
And then discipline obviously is a really big one there. You know, one of the things that you got from being in the music space and waking up at 7 a.m., what did you get out of discipline? Because I find that discipline is a really big one too, you know, as a founder. So tell us what did you get, you know, from discipline there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's this notion that building a startup is really cool and it's really fun all the time. And I think that the, you know, there are really great aspects of it that I really enjoy. And then there's a lot of things where you just have to, you know, do the grunt work because nobody else is going to do that for you. Having discipline gets you through those hard times, and, you know, helps you to do the hard thing when nobody else will.
So then for you, I mean, you ended up going to Harvard, but, it didn't unfold the way that you had hoped for, because literally while you were there, you know, you got the idea of Legalist. And in fact, you also got into trouble with the Wi-Fi. So what happened there, you know, during your time at Harvard? How did you guys come up with this idea and what happened next?
Sure. So, after growing up in England, I took a gap year, spent a year traveling the world and you know, doing music. And then after that gap year, I ended up going to Harvard University. And there I met my co-founder for Legalist, Eva Shang. And, we worked on a couple of student organizations together and decided that we really liked working together and decided to start a company together. So 3 years into my Harvard experience, we set about trying to do something in the legal space. We were both interested in, you know, what we felt was an antiquated industry that did things in somewhat of a backwards way. And so, you know, in January of my junior year, we started interviewing hundreds of attorneys. Every attorney who was in Massachusetts who was willing to talk to us, we'd ask them, you know, what are your pain points? What are you struggling with? And they'd all say, you know, we want more clients. And so through one of my courses, I realized there was this website, the Massachusetts Court Record website, which was, you know, I think they paid about $70 million to build it. But it was sort of this antiquated system that was really hard to navigate. And we thought, there's no way that anybody else is using this data for anything. So I started downloading data, and we downloaded a lot of data, about 100 gigabytes a week. And at some point, you know, the Harvard University IT department caught on to the fact that we were downloading so much data and cut off my internet access. I think they thought we were doing something illegal, which we weren't. But you know, then I started downloading data on Eva's internet. And at some point, we actually launched the product. And the initial idea was, okay, so lots of these lawyers want to be able to find more clients. So let's just download data on new cases that are occurring on a daily basis, find cases where there is a defendant who hasn't got any representation, and say to those clients, hey, do you need a lawyer? That was the first iteration of what we did. And with that idea, we got into Y Combinator and started Legalist. Today, it's very different, but that's how we got started. And
how do you think that the Y Combinator, you know, shaped a little bit more the idea of Legalist?
Y Combinator was huge in terms of, you know, determining what we ended up doing. The most important thing was that the general counsel there, John Levy, introduced us to the idea of litigation finance. This wasn't something that we knew about. We had no idea that you could finance lawsuits. But after getting introduced to that concept, you know, we decided to pursue it. And that's actually, you know, what a big part of what we do today. So today, Legalist is just under $1 billion of assets under management. Our core strategy is litigation finance. So basically, we invest in lawsuits and we provide the financing for plaintiffs to be able to get, you know, their day in court. And then we also have two additional strategies. One is bankruptcy financing. So we provide short-term loans to companies that are going through the bankruptcy process to help them to, you know, exit and you know, start being a business again. And then the third strategy is government receivable financing. And we provide financing to government contractors who need short-term financing to cover cash flows while they're waiting for the government to pay them. So yeah, Legalist was, YC was incredibly instrumental to, you know, ultimately taking the path of becoming an asset management firm.
I know that the journey of raising money, you know, for Legalist was not easy. You know, in fact, the, you know, at the beginning, you know, one of the investors, you know, fell apart. You know, you guys were thinking about going back to school, you know, as the plan B. So what happened there?
Yeah. So, you know, we make a number of litigation finance investments. And, you know, for our first fund, it was a $10 million fund. And we made approximately 40 investments out of that fund. And one of our early investments that we made, you know, lost. And if a case loses, then we lose all of our investment in that investment. So we'd invested, I think, about $150,000 in that case. And, you know, when we lost, we thought, oh no, like we have a bad track record. We're an asset management firm and we live and die by our track record. And so we were worried that, you know, that would be the end of our investment firm and that we'd have to go back to school. And I remember that day we went to Costco and we went and bought $1.50 hot dogs and we thought, this is our life from now on. You know, I remember for the next couple of weeks, we would lie on the couch and eat ice cream as sort of a consolation prize. But, you know, ultimately we got through it. And, you know, I think that the, obviously the, you know, now we've got three different strategies and, you know, we've been able to build a very large business out of, you know, this is an investment strategy. So things definitely turned around.
So at what point does the idea of maybe, you know, starting something else, you know, come about? Because, I mean, Legalist now is one of the things that you're doing, you know, and then also Compound. But at what point does the idea of doing something else, you know, come into play?
you know, when you're working on a business, you know, you probably have thousands of different ideas of other businesses you could do. A lot of them are bad ideas. Some of them are good ideas. But, you know, one of the things that we kept on noticing at Legalist was that, so with our investor base, we invest on behalf of a number of nonprofit endowments, university endowments, a lot of institutional investors. But we also invest on behalf of a large number of wealth advisors who would invest their client money in our investment products. And, you know, over time, we just see the same challenges over and over again. The main one being that, you know, wealth advisors, they work with a technology stack which is incredibly antiquated. And as the job of a wealth advisor has expanded over time, so has all of the different technology point solutions that they have access to. There's maybe, you know, hundreds of different point solutions that an advisor will use to manage their book of business, their CRM, their portfolio reconciliation and reporting engine, their trade desk execution platform, you know, what they use to find leads. And because of this sort of proliferation of point solutions, the end result is a very clunky client experience and a very inefficient and inaccurate back office for the advisory firm. And so, you know, 2 years ago, I set out to solve that problem. On the one side, we saw this problem of all of these point solutions and the challenges building a digital native advisory firm. And on the other hand, we saw that, you know, over the next couple of decades, something like $100 trillion of assets is going to exchange hands from the baby boomer generation to the next generation of clients. And so, you know, given that, you know, that's a clientele base that would want great technology, that would want a great technology experience to accompany great financial planning and investment management. And so, you know, where we saw that opportunity, we were like, okay, this is something that we should build. You know, we have the right skill set and the right, you know, partners to be able to go and tackle this problem. So I started raising capital, put together a couple of co-founders and, you know, a small team to really tackle that problem. And then, you know, started going out to market and bringing advisors and their clients on board.
So I guess, how did the whole idea to, you know, come about? Because there were some calls at 2 a.m. happening, you know, in the early days as well. So what happened here?
You know, so over the first year and a half, we were recruiting advisors and bringing on clients, and we very quickly got to about $700 million of assets under management. And then we came across this firm called Compound. And they were also a Silicon Valley startup, both technology firm as well as advisory firm. And we realized that, you know, they were taking the same approach that we were in terms of, you know, trying to go after that next generation client and really build a platform and a technology experience that next generation clients would want to operate with. And, you know, I heard through one of our investors that they might be looking to sell. So, you know, I had a number of connections that I tried to utilize to reach out to the founder of that business to see if he'd be open to selling to us. And after, you know, I wasn't able to get in touch with him through any of those connections, I cold emailed him myself and asked him if he'd be interested in having a conversation. Funnily enough, he responded and said, yeah, let's have a conversation. But I was in Italy at the time. It was July 4th weekend, and, you know, a few friends and I had decided to go to Italy for July 4th. So, you know, we had a large, several 2 a.m. conversations, you know, in Italy, just trying to see whether, you know, there was alignment in terms of how we thought about the industry, how Jordan, the co-founder of Compound, thought about the industry, and where he wanted to take that business. And after a couple of months, we realized that, yeah, this was something that we wanted to do. So we negotiated to acquire his firm. We spent about a month going through those conversations, both with Jordan and then with the board of Compound. Several of his largest investors were, you know, interested in learning about our business and, you know, what we wanted to do if we merged the two firms. And then we spent a month doing due diligence and seeing, you know, is this business compliant? Is it, you know, do the numbers work out? Do we really understand what this business is trying to do? And after those 2 months, we acquired the firm, and you know, now we're you know, between the two firms and, you know, what we built together, we're about $1.7 billion of assets under management. And we continue to recruit great advisors who have existing books of business, and then provide them with a great technology platform and resources to be able to run their book of business on our rails.
Hey, guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard. And already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of a cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So why were they so important to you guys? I mean, why do you want to acquire, you know, Compound?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we had, you know, ultimately what we want to build is a holistic digital family office with all of the different products and services that a high net worth and ultra high net worth client would want to be able to use. And today we have liquid investments, alternative investments, tax advisory, tax filing, a lot of bespoke sort of lending solutions and family office services. And what Compound brought, they had built an incredible client experience. So think of like Mint.com or Personal Capital. They have client dashboards where anybody on the internet can sign up and can get value out of having all of their accounts aggregated in one place. They can see how much they're spending and, you know, what they're spending their money on. And Compound had built a similar client experience, but very, very tailored to high net worth and ultra high net worth clients. So, you know, they built a lot of equity planning solutions and, you know, how do I think about what my concentrated stock position, you know, will do over time, you know, given liquidity events or, you know, given tax events. And they'd also allowed not just aggregation of liquid brokerage accounts, but also of all of their GP commits, LP investments, basically a true representation for a high net worth or ultra high net worth individual of what their total net worth is. We had focused on the back office and middle office technology for advisors. How do you make an advisor more efficient? How do you make it so it's more seamless for a client to invest in an alternative asset? And so by taking the back office and middle office technology that we had built and then combining it with the client experience that Compound had built, we realized that we could have a full holistic platform that would accelerate our product development by several years. And so we acquired their firm. We combined the technologies. They also had several really experienced advisors who were focused on high net worth and ultra high net worth tech execs, tech founders, tech employees. And so they were well versed in the kinds of challenges that those kinds of clients experience on a day-to-day basis. And so, it was a mix of the technology, the team that we were able to bring on, being able to combine the AUM so that we were over $1 billion of assets under management. There were a lot of good things, in that acquisition.
So obviously acquisitions, most of them fail, right? Because they fail on the integration part. How did you guys go about ensuring that the integration would succeed? What were some of the things that you guys put in place?
Yeah, a lot of acquisitions fail, and we have a lot of advisors who advise the company on these kinds of challenges. It was a big warning to us. Hey, like this may fail, and you may find that you've spent a lot of time only to have the acquisition fall apart for cultural reasons, or for it's just not a good mesh of technologies. And so we spent a lot of time planning for the acquisition. We had spreadsheets upon spreadsheets that we had built out with, step by step. This is what we're going to do on the finances side. This is what we're going to do for the team. This is what we're going to do for the external communications. This is what we're going to do for compliance. Every single item that we'd itemized had an owner who would handle that particular aspect of the acquisition. And so a ton of planning went into it. We had a really great team on both sides, both on our company side as well as on Compound side, who were spearheading each of the different aspects of the acquisition. But even then, even with all of that planning, we still ran into unexpected challenges and hiccups that we've been working through over the past 6 months. It's actually a testament to the team and how well they were able to plan that we were able to bring over almost the entire team, as well as, very quickly integrate all of the technology, and not run into more hiccups than we did. I would say that, the biggest part of it was just planning, spreadsheets.
And in terms of fundraising, I mean, now, as you were saying, you got like close to $3 billion, which is amazing between both companies. When it comes to raising capital, what are the three biggest takeaways that you've gotten, from so far from your experience raising money?
Well, ultimately, the way that I think about, either asset management or wealth management, it's a trust business, everything that you do is on the basis of trust. And trust can be built in many ways, right? It's about the stories that you tell and the marketing that you do. It's about how much AUM you have, assets under management. It's about, doing right by your customers over and over again, so that you can have, great references and, people who really want to showcase what you do to other people and refer you more clients. And it's about the team that you have. Can you get really great people who have a track record, who can help you to build, who can help to, make your offering more and more sophisticated. When I think about, either fundraising or bringing on investors and helping to manage their net worth, all of it is about, building trust, building those relationships, and, getting to a point where, you can add value to them. And then, it's about doing that over and over and over again over a long period of time, so that you can then work with more and more clients who are similar.
So I guess, when it comes to vision, it's a big one, no? Because that's what ultimately, you know, people are betting on, you know, customers, employees, investors. So if you were to go to sleep tonight and you wake up in a world where the vision of Compound is fully realized, what does that world look like?
Our vision is to really build the operating system that advisors use to manage their book of business and that clients use to manage their net worth. And so when I think about the last great financial institutions, I really think of the custodial platforms like Schwab and Fidelity, who, you know, they've had such a great track record of building institutions that, you know, and a name brand that everybody recognizes. I think there are very few people out there who don't know, you know, who Fidelity or who Schwab is. And I think that the next generation of financial institutions are going to be a technology platform that, you know, is in the advisory space that really help clients to manage their money and manage all of the other aspects of their wealth management in one place. And so that's what we want to build. And today, the way that we're doing that is to, you know, recruit advisors with existing books of business, as well as to, you know, provide a great client experience where anybody on the internet can sign up for a dashboard and manage their money today, even without the help of an advisor. But ultimately, what we want to do is to go to firms that are adjacent to wealth management and say, hey, you don't offer wealth management services today, but you could. And we can help to provide that platform so that you don't have to build out the compliance infrastructure. You don't have to build out a team of advisors. You don't have to build out a great technology platform. We can provide all of that to you, and you know we'll take a cut. The advisors get you know client lead flow, and those firms are adjacent to wealth management, like you know insurance wholesalers, insurance brokers, community banks, you know second tier banks. We'll get a full service, holistic wealth management platform that is geared towards that next generation of client who really wants a great technology experience to accompany, you know, great financial advice.
So obviously we're talking about the future here, but I want to talk about the past and doing so with a lens of reflection. If I was to put you into a time machine and I bring you back in time to that moment where maybe you were in the hallways of Harvard, you know, just figuring things out. And let's say you're able to stop that younger self, that younger Christian that is thinking about maybe starting something. If you could stop that younger self and give that younger self one piece of advice before launching a business, what would that be and why, given what you know now?
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's really critical when you're first starting out to figure out who can really help you on your journey and who can't. Oftentimes when, you know, you're first starting out, the ideas that you have seem crazy. When we started Legalist, you know, it was kind of ridiculous that a 20 and 22-year-old could go out and start a litigation finance company. When we started Compound, it was kind of ridiculous that, you know, we would go into the wealth management space and really build something that was a better offering than, you know, all of these, you know, 30 billion, 100 billion, 200 billion AUM wealth management firms currently offer. You know, there are people out there who will, you know, be supportive and try to like help you along your way, whether that's, you know, with their time, with their money, with their advice. And then, you know, there are other people who are in those industries who are like, don't bother, just give up. Like, why are you doing this? It's stupid. You know, it's really important to get the right people on side who will help you on that journey because, you know, it's not a journey that you can do alone. There's an incredible amount of, you know, people in both of the journeys that I've had so far who have really been incredibly helpful along the way. And without them, we would never have been able to do any of the things that we've been able to do. And you want those people on your side and as many of those people as you can find. And you want as few of the people who are going to tell you, don't bother, you have no idea what you're doing. Because, you know, ultimately they're just going to, not help you on your journey.
I hear you. So Christian, for the people that are listening that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
If you're a high net worth or ultra net worth and, you know, you want a digital dashboard, a net worth tracker, or, want financial planning and investment advice, compoundplanning.com is a great place to go to. You can sign up for a dashboard and get started today. You know, if you want to talk about other things, whether it's, you know, investing in the firm, whether it's, exploring other ways to, help out or become part of the team, you can always connect with me on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn and feel free to shoot me a message.
Amazing. Well, easy enough, Christian. Well, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an honor to have you with us.
Yeah, appreciate it, Alejandro. And appreciate the time.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.